It's me again, Hank the Cow Dog. The day began just as many other days had started. I barked up the sun exactly at daylight, barked at a mockingbird that was making a nuisance of himself in one of those elm trees near the gas tanks, and did a routine patrol of the corrals. Little did I know or suspect that before the day was done, I would be trapped in a runaway pickup, or that I would discover a nest of trespassing stray cats in the haystack, or that I would do battle with a raging bull. Pretty busy day, huh? But I didn't know any of that, and you're not supposed to know it either, so just forget that I mentioned it. In every way, it appeared to be just another day on the ranch. A normal day, in other words, in the late spring or early summer. The 1st of May, I guess it was. Yes, because Sally Mae had planted her garden and the chinaberry trees were beginning to bloom and the cottonwoods along the creek had begun putting out cotton. Have we discussed cottonwoods and cotton? Maybe not. Cottonwood trees are called cottonwood trees for three reasons. Number one, they are trees. Number two, their trunks contain wood. And number three, the leafy portion of the tree produces little seeds that resemble puffs of cotton. And in the springtime, the air is filled with them. Hensley, if you put those three elements together, tree, wood, and cotton, you come up with the name of the tree. No, wait a minute. If you put them together, you'd come up with... Hang on just a second whilst I do some figuring. You'd come up with treewood cotton, which is not the name of the tree. It's not the name of anything. It's gibberish. So what we have to do is take those three same elements, tree, wood, and cotton, and reverse the order, see? And that gives us the correct answer, which is cottonwood tree. Pretty slick, huh? You bet it is. How many dogs can tell you everything about trees? Not many. Very few. Most of your ordinary ranch mutts have only one use for a tree and couldn't care less about where the name comes from. You might be wondering what this discussion of cottonwood trees has to do with the mysteries that were about to unfold on that particular day. Well, not much, actually, except that when I returned to my office around 8 o'clock that morning, I caught Drover in the act of... You won't believe this. Even I found it hard to believe. I mean, I've served on this ranch with Drover for... How many years? A lot. We've shared the same bedroom office under the gas tanks, worked many cases together, solved many mysteries, shared the same bowl of co-op dog food, and you'd think that after all that, I would have seen every dumb stunt that Drover could come up with. Nope. On that particular morning, I caught the little mutt chasing puffs of cottonwood cotton. That was a new one. I'd watched him chase butterflies, grasshoppers, frogs, and crickets. I'd seen him snap at snowflakes and cinders from burning garbage. But I had never supposed that I would... So forth. But I did. I sat down on my gunny sack bed and watched. He was so wrapped up in his little adventure, he didn't even notice me. Here came a puff of cotton floating through the air. Drover spotted it and crouched down. He watched it coming. His ears were up and his eyes were locked on the target. When it passed overhead, he sprang into the air and snapped at it. He missed, of course, and hurled himself at it again and snapped again and landed on his back in the dirt. I guess he caught it the second time. Anyway, it disappeared. Well, that was enough. I rose from my gunny sack and marched over to him. He was still lying on the ground, huffing and puffing, and looking pretty proud of himself.
Oh, hi, Hank. Did you see what I just did?
Yes, I saw it, the whole thing.
Pretty good, huh? I snapped it right out of the air, and I got it on the first shot.
You got it on the second shot.
Oh, maybe that was it. I almost got it on the first shot, and then I sure enough got it on the second.
I took a deep breath
and looked around to see if we were alone. What I had to say was going to be embarrassing, and I didn't want anyone outside the security division to hear it. Drover, we need to have a little talk.
We do?
Yes, we do. It has come to my attention that you often engage in behavior that is... How shall I put this?
Well, I don't know. Heroic?
No.
Courageous and bold?
No.
Outstanding? Athletic?
I'll supply the words, Drover. You just listen.
Well, you asked.
I'm sorry I asked. It has come to my attention that you often engage in behavior that is meaningless, ridiculous, and unreasonable. Behavior which an outside observer might very well consider stupid, to put it bluntly.
I'll be darned.
He sat up and began scratching his ear.
Are you sure it was me? That doesn't sound like anything I'd do.
Of course I'm sure it was you, and it sounds exactly like something you would do. Shall we get down to specifics? I began pacing back and forth in front of him. I often do this when... Maybe I've mentioned that before. Okay, I saw you snapping at that cottonwood cotton.
Yep, it was me, all right.
I know it was you. That's my point. Do you realize how absurd you look when you do such things?
Not really.
Well, you look ridiculous and absurd. I mean, we are professional dogs, Drover. We hold important positions on this ranch.
I didn't know I had a position.
You don't. And one of the reasons you don't is that you're always doing something silly. If I gave you a position and a title, you'd embarrass the whole security division. Don't you understand that everything we do on this ranch must have a purpose?
I never thought about that, I guess.
Well, it's time you thought about it. I stopped pacing and whirled around to face him. What was your purpose in chasing those puffs of cotton?
Well, let me think. It was fun.
Won't work, Drover. Having fun has nothing to do with our jobs. Having fun is for cats, chickens, ordinary mutts, and the other nitwits in this world. Try again.
Well, let's see.
He squinted one eye and drew his mouth up into a knot. He seemed to be concentrating. That was good.
I didn't want the cotton to litter the ranch, I guess.
Litter the ranch?
Yeah, we're against litter, aren't we?
I resumed my pacing. Of course we're against litter, but cottonwood trees are part of this ranch, and their seeds are part of the natural fauna and fluoride. That's not litter.
Darn. Well, let me try again. I was hungry and wanted some cottonwood candy.
I stopped pacing and stared at the runt. Cottonwood candy? I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, it's like cotton candy, only it comes from cottonwood trees.
No kidding. I sat down. Tell me more. This is something new.
Well, let's see. Cottonwood candy comes from cottonwood trees.
You've already said that. Get on with it.
And the best part is that you don't have to go to the circus to buy it.
Yes, that fits. There are no circuses on this ranch. I began pacing again. This was starting to sound interesting.
Okay, Drover, we've got a lead here. We know for a fact that no circus has ever spent time on this ranch, yet you've reported finding traces of cottonwood candy. What made you think that the substance in the air was cottonwood candy rather than plain, ordinary cottonwood cotton?
'Cause I saw one in the air and I chased it.
Exactly, but what about the taste?
Well, it kind of rhymes with chase.
Good point, and we may come back to that later. You see, Drover, candy by its very nature tastes sweet. And regular cotton candy is made of equal parts of sugar and cotton. Therefore, it has a sweet taste. What about the stuff you snapped out of the air?
Well, it sure tasted like equal parts to me.
I whirled around with an air of triumph.
There we are. Do you understand what this means, Drover? We have made an amazing discovery. Those cottonwood trees down along the creek are producing cottonwood candy. They might have been doing this for centuries, but nobody ever knew about it because nobody was ever bold or curious enough to taste one of the tiny puffs of cotton until we came along and did it.
Who's we?
We, Drover, the scientific division of the security division. We who dared to look foolish in pursuit of our research.
Yeah, but it was me that did it.
Exactly. You played a small but tiny part in making this discovery, and you'll probably get some credit for it. But the important thing is that we have discovered an important new source of food and nourishment, and at that very moment, my eyes caught sight of a small white object floating through the air. It was a piece of cottonwood candy, and it was coming towards us.
Okay, Drover, stand by. I'm going to demonstrate the proper technique for harvesting cottonwood candy. Watch this and take careful notes.
I thought I already knew how.
Your methods were crude, Drover. Not bad for a first attempt, but a far cry from refined techniques. Watch.
I bent my knees and went into stealthy crouch mode and waited until the candy puff was directly overhead. Then I hit the launch button, sprang upwards, and snagged the luscious candy morsel in my jaws. I returned to Earth and began smacking my lips on the...
Drover, you moron. That isn't sweet. It's nothing but a piece of fuzz.
Well, I never said it was sweet. I said it tasted like equal parts, and you said...
I didn't hear the rest of what he had to say, for at that very moment, I became aware of a new and alarming sound behind me. I wheeled around and saw... I saw Loper and Slim. They had come down from the house and were leaning on the legs of the gas tank. And the alarming sound I had heard was their laughter. They appeared to be laughing at something. I ran my gaze around in a full circle and saw nothing that might cause them such a fit of laughing. Then I heard them speak.
Say, that's a pretty special dog you've got there. You reckon he's a registered hunter and jumper?
You bet. He hunts down cottonwood seeds and jumps to catch them. Sure makes me proud of my dog food, Bill.
Why, yes. You know, Loper, them cotton farmers down around Lubbock might pay big money for a dog like Hank. If you staked him out for 24 hours, I'll bet he might gather a whole bale of cotton.
He sure might. Maybe I ought to get a patent on him.
Boy, I would. Paint him green and put a John Deere sticker on him, and you might be able to rent him out by the month.
You can always spot the small minds in a crowd. They're the ones that laugh and hoot and ridicule anyone who's different, anyone who dares to experiment and push the outer limits of our scientific knowledge. And if history had been left to such hooters and scoffers, we'd still be... I don't know where we'd still be. Yes, I do. We'd still be living in a primitive state without baling wire and zippers for blue jeans and better mouse traps. We'd have mice all over the place, eating up the world's supply of cheese. And those two jugheads would still be making jokes. They think they're so funny. Well, they're not. If they didn't laugh at their own stale jokes, there would be a great silence every time they told one. I held my head at a proud angle and gave them poisonous glares just to let them know that all the great discoveries in science looked silly at first. My poisonous glares must have gotten to them. Either that or they got so bored listening to each other, they couldn't stand it anymore. But whatever, at last they ran out of excuses for loitering and loafing.
Loper
yawned and stretched.
Slim, why don't you load up some alfalfa on the flatbed and feed those mama cows in the Dutcher Creek pasture? They're chasing that early grass in the low spots, but they probably need a little extra protein. Feed the horse pasture and those yearlings in the southeast. 40 bales ought to be plenty.
Slim nodded. Do I dare take the Cotton King with me?
Oh, I guess we can spare him, but be real careful. With this cattle market in the pits, we may need to branch out into the cotton business.
I'll guard him with my life.
See, what did I tell you? They never quit.
Well, if Slim thought I was going to help him feed hay, he was very muchly mistaken. I had better things to do. Plenty of better things.
Hank, come on, load up.
No, I would not come on, and I would not load up.
Loper went down to the corrals or somewhere. I don't know where he went.
Nor did I care.
Slim came walking towards me. I turned my eyes away and refused to look at him.
Now, Hanky, we was just funnin'. Don't be bitter.
Hey, I was bitter. Who wouldn't have been bitter? I had nothing more to say to Slim Chance, except that he wasn't nearly as funny as he thought. No, I would not come, and I intended to ignore him for days, maybe even weeks. Dogs have feelings, too. We can't be mocked and scorned day after day.
Come on, Hanky. Let's go load some hay.
No. He could load his own hay, and he could do it alone, and after he'd spent a few weeks alone without a loyal friend, maybe he'd learn to appreciate a good, honest cow dog. The Cotton King. I'd never been so insulted. If they'd bothered to study the case, they would have known that the real so-called Cotton King on our outfit was Mr. Squeakbox, who had invented the whole silly exercise. I'd just been trying to help the little goof. I should have known better. Helping Drover was mission impossible. And no, I would not help Slim feed hay today, and maybe never again. My decision was final.
Slim shrugged and made his way to the flatbed pickup in that slow walk of his. My glare followed him. It was a pity to end such a long friendship, but it couldn't be helped. He opened the door and reached inside. He came out with something in his hand. He took a bite of it and held it up.
You want some beef jerky?
My ears shot up and puddles of water began to form in my mouth. Well, I sure didn't want him thinking that all my anger and hurt and pain could be bought for one measly strip of beef jerky, but on the other hand, I found my steps taking me towards the pickup. Don't get me wrong, I wasn't selling out 100%. The pain and humiliation would linger for weeks, and I would find it hard to hide the scars, but, well, beef jerky was a pretty good peace offering. He tore off a hunk and pitched it into the air. You should have seen me snap that rascal. Snagged it out of thin air and gulped it down. Old Slim chuckled at that.
Beats cotton, don't it?
There for a moment I considered, oh well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but beef will ease the pain. Someone on the ranch needed to show some maturity, and I figured it had to be me.
You want to ride in the back or up front with the executives?
Well, I had always enjoyed riding in the back and letting the wind blow my ears around, but, well, considering all the suffering I'd endured that morning, maybe riding up front would be better. I leaped up onto the seat and took the shotgun position by the window. Much to my surprise and dismay, Slim called Drover, and a moment later he joined me in the cab. I gave him a withering glare.
Hi, Hank. Is something wrong?
Don't speak to me, you weasel. Of course something is wrong.
Gosh, if I can't speak to you, how can I find out what's wrong?
You know what it is, and you were the cause of it. Once again, you have made a mockery of the entire security division.
I thought we'd become famous scientists or something.
We became famous idiots, Drover. And do you know why?
Not really.
Because you told me a huge whopper of a lie and lured me into believing that story about cottonwood candy.
Oh, yeah. That was quite a whopper, but I knew you'd never believe it.
Yes, but I did believe it. I made the mistake of trusting you.
That was a mistake.
I just said that, and we don't need you repeating everything I say.
What?
I said, we don't need me repeating everything you say.
Oh, that's okay. I don't mind.
And for telling huge whoppers to the head of ranch security, you will be written up. I'm going to put 3 shame on yous into your file.
Oh, drat.
Make that 4, Drover, since you've chosen to use naughty language while on duty. I hope this ruins your day and makes you feel lousy. He grinned.
Yeah, it does.
Then why are you grinning?
Well, let me think here.
He rolled his eyes around.
I deserved it so much. The guilt feels good and makes me grin.
Drover, that is the dumbest statement you've ever made.
No, I said something dumber last week.
What was it?
Well, it was so dumb, I tried to forget it, and now I can't remember.
Shut up, Drover. Talking with you makes me feel insane. I turned my gaze out the window and moved as far away from him as I could. Just sitting next to him scrambled my brain waves. Slim fired up the motor and we drove around to the stack lot. And in case you don't know, a stack lot is where we keep our stacks of alfalfa hay over the winter months. It's fenced off to keep the livestock. Uh-oh. I saw the problem right away, even before Slim did. A bull had torn down the fence and had invaded the stack lot. No doubt he had been there most of the night, and he had wrecked the southwest corner of the stack. Slim saw it too, and his eyes narrowed in anger. Dadgum bull. Come on, Hank. We've got a job to do. He flew out the door and opened the wire gate into the stack lot. I tried to follow him out the pickup door, but Drover was in my way. Excuse me, but I've just been called out on a code 3. He stared at me with empty eyes. Will you please get out of my way?
When?
When what?
When did someone get in your way?
You're in my way right now.
Oh my gosh, did something happen?
Yes, something happened. We're in a code 3 situation. We're under a red alert, and you're in my way, and I can't get out. Move!
He moved, all right.
He started turning in circles right there on the seat.
Help! Mayday! Red alert! Oh, my leg!
Stop squeaking and spinning in circles. Jump out the door and attack that bull.
Bull? Oh, my gosh. Okay, here we go. Out the door.
At last, he jumped out the door. But would you like to guess what he did the very instant his feet hit the ground? Instead of charging after the bull, he ducked under the pickup and hid. I couldn't believe it. I was so disgusted. Oh, well. I didn't have time to deal with Drover's problems. I flew out the door and went ripping into the stack lot to give that smart aleck bull a stiff dose of ranch justice. I'd never liked bulls in the first place, and I could hardly wait to tear this guy to shreds. By the time I reached the combat zone, Slim was already there. He found a piece of windmill rod, and he ran straight at the bull, yelling, waving his arms, and swinging the rod. If he'd stopped to think about it, he might have tried a different approach. He got the bull so stirred up that instead of stepping over the fence he'd already torn down, he tore out another 6 feet of posts and barbed wire. Then he headed west in a run. Slim stopped, threw the windmill rod at him, and yelled, "You dadgum fence-wrecking bull. Get him, Hanky, and bite him twice for me." I zoomed past him and headed straight for the villainous bull. I threw all circuits over into automatic and began the targeting procedure. Would you like to listen in? Okay, here's the conversation that was going on in the cockpit of my mind. Range, mark. Bearing, mark. All ahead, 2/3, course 250. Open outer doors, flood tubes 1 and 3, and plot a solution. We have a solution. Stand by to fire. Pretty impressive, huh? You bet it was. You probably thought we dogs just went out and barked at things. Ha! Far from it. Our targeting procedures are very precise and very complicated. And we have to... The bull had been, running, don't you see? But all at once he stopped and wheeled around and... well, more or less turned back in my direction and... you must realize that all our calculations and targeting so forth had been based on... we had to, plot a new solution, is the long and short of it. We went to full air brakes, did a rapid turn to the starboard-larboard, reversed directions, hit full flames on all engines, and went streaking back to the... well, to the pickup, you might say. We needed some time to retarget, don't you see? And data control felt that Drover might need some help in, well, guarding the underside of the... we sure couldn't afford to lose that pickup. I scrambled beneath the pickup and cut loose with a withering barrage of barking. Drover was there, his eyes as big as grapefruit. Grapefruits, that is.
Did you get him?
Oh, yeah, no problem. I don't think we'll see him again.
Oh, good. Boy, he sure was a big old bull.
I peeked out and saw that the bull was walking away. He was nothing but a huge hamburger, Drover. And the bigger they are, the harder they cook. I noticed that he was staring at me.
Why are you staring at me?
Well, I don't know. Somehow that didn't make sense.
Of course it made sense. The bigger they are, the... just skip it, Drover. I'm sorry I brought it up and I don't have time to explain it. I've got work to do.
Okay, I think I'll just stay here for a while. This darned old leg went out on me again.
Yeah, I'll bet. I crawled out and gave the bull a few parting shots.
Let that be a lesson to you, you big galoot. Next time, you won't be so lucky.
Pretty tough, huh? You have to be firm with these bulls. I noticed that Slim was trying to patch up the fence, and I figured I'd better scoot over there and supervise. On my way across the stack lot, I caught sight of something out of the corner of my eye. It wasn't much, just a blur of color. Something was over there, and I needed to check it out. I altered course and marched over to the spot. I stuck my nose between two bales of hay and... my goodness, it was a cat. A smallish, yellowish she-cat. My first instinct was to raise all hackles and growl at her, which I did. But then I noticed that she had a more or less pleasant face, and she didn't hiss at me or yowl. Still, she was a cat, and cats had no business on my outfit. I mean, we already had one, and he was one too many. Pete, I mean. I had no use for Pete. He was lazy, hateful, spoiled, and constantly looking for ways of getting me into trouble. Have I mentioned that I don't like cats?
I don't like cats, period. What are you doing in there? She spoke in a sad little voice.
I'm lost. I'm alone and abandoned. I need a home.
Life is tough, ma'am. We have no homes for cats. This is a cattle ranch, not a cat ranch. You're occupying my haystack and trespassing on my property. Oh, yes. I'm Hank the Cowdog, head of ranch security. You'll need to move along.
But couldn't I stay in your haystack for a day or two?
No.
I wouldn't be any trouble.
Cats always cause trouble. The answer is no, I'm sorry. I'll be back here this afternoon to check things out. Nothing personal, ma'am, but you'd better be gone. Good luck. I marched away from her. I kind of hated being so... Hey, once you start boarding stray cats, there's no end to it. They'll move in and take over the place. I joined Slim. I could see that he was experiencing a period of great darkness. He always does when there's a fence to repair. He doesn't enjoy fixing fence. I knew that about him, and knew that in this hour of despair, he needed a friend. When I got there, he was standing over the wreckage, muttering to himself, "Of all the bum luck, I've got cattle to feed and hay to load, and that bull decides to wreck the stack lot fence." I sat down beside him, struck a pose we call loyal friend sharing heartache. We save it for special occasions such as this one. Deep down, maybe I didn't really care all that much. I mean, there are many tragedies in the world that are worse than a trashed fence. But in the ranch dog business, we get no points for bringing them up. See, when our cowboys are depressed, they expect us to be depressed. When they're happy, they want us to be happy. That may sound a little strange, but that's what we dogs get paid for. Slim shook his head and stared at the fence. He heaved a sigh. I followed his lead and did the same. We were both very depressed about this fence deal. I ain't got time to fix it right. Plus, I'm a little short on inspiration, so I reckon I'll do a sharecropper patch and hope it'll turn a bull. We had seen those sharecropper patches many times before. Slim and Loper were famous for their ingenuity in this department. They could take a stretch of old rusted barbed wire and dinky posts, add some baling wire and a few staples, and make it just as sorry as it had been before. Only this time, Slim added a new technique I hadn't seen before. Where the posts were broken off at the ground, he stood them up and wired in a crutch post on each side, making a kind of A-frame. It held up the fence, didn't cost the ranch any money and new material, and spared Slim the trouble of digging post holes. I thought it was pretty clever. I also thought the bull would wreck it in about 10 seconds, but of course I kept that thought to myself. These cowboys don't want advice from their dogs. He spent 15 minutes on it, and when he was done, he stood back and admired his work. "Well now, that ain't such a bad job, is it, Hank?" No. No, it was very nice. Beautiful. A fine piece of work. Too bad we didn't have a camera. "I bet it'll turn that old bull, and if it don't, I've got a shotgun and some number 7 loads that might get his attention. Come on, Pooch. We got hay to load and mouths to feed." He crawled into the pickup and backed it up to the stack. You're probably wondering about Drover and if he got smushed, seeing as how he was still under the pickup guarding the springs and shocks and U-joints. He didn't get smushed. He never gets smushed. He waited until the last possible second, then squirted out of danger.
Whilst Slim loaded the hay and stacked it on the flatbed, I threw myself into the task of ignoring Drover. He came up and started yapping about something or other, nothing that interested me in the least. I walked away in the middle of his so-called conversation and took up a new position. He followed and continued his yapping. At last, I got tired of it.
Drover, are you bored?
Who, me? Well, yeah, maybe I am. How'd you know?
I always know when you're bored because you start boring me with boring conversation.
I'll be darned. I didn't know it was so obvious.
It is. What you need is a little job to keep you busy, so why don't you walk over there to those two bales of hay? You see those two bales off to themselves? Walk over there, stick your head between them, and bark as loud as you can.
Okay, let's see if I can remember. Two bales, stick my head, and bark. I think I've got it, but how come you want me to bark at the hay?
Just do it, Drover. For once in your life, follow an order and complete a task.
Well, there's not a snake in there, is there?
No, there's no snake. You have my cowdog oath on it. Now go.
Well, I guess. Okay, here I go.
He went skipping over to the two bales of hay. I watched with great interest and had a fairly good idea what might happen. I didn't wish the dunce any trouble, but he needed some life experiences to occupy his tiny mind and to give him something new to talk about. He reached the bales, looked back at me, and waved. I waved back. He stuck his nose in between the bales and did his best imitation of a deep, roaring bark. It wasn't much of a bark, but it proved to be enough.
He jumped 3 feet into the air and squalled, then came highballing it back to me.
Hank, there's a cat in there.
No kidding. A cat, huh?
Yeah, and I barked, and she slapped my face.
Goodness, what a naughty cat. Why didn't you beat her up and run her off the ranch?
Well, I just couldn't do it. Who could beat up a cat with kittens?
I stared into the huge vacuum of his eyes. What?
Kittens. She's got 6 little baby kittens in there.
My eyes rolled back in my head. Oh, great. We didn't have just 1 stray cat on the ranch. We had 6. 7, actually, if you counted the mother. And guess who came slithering along at that very moment, speaking of stray and unwanted cats? It was Pete. No doubt he had heard the noise and had come to check it out. Oh, and he had been listening in on our conversation.
Hi, Hanky. I hear we've got some new cats on the ranch.
I whirled around and showed him some fangs. Get lost, Pete. The cats have to go. They're not staying on my ranch, and I don't want to hear what you have to say about it. I already know.
I don't think you do, Hanky. It might surprise you.
What are you saying, you little sneak? Out with it.
He blinked his eyes and grinned.
I think you should order them off the ranch right now. Throw them out. Make them leave. They don't belong here.
I stared into his cunning, cattish eyes. He didn't know it, but he had just caused a train wreck in my mind. Suddenly, I wasn't sure what kind of scheme he was trying to cook up. With cats, you never know. They say one thing and it means something else, but you can always be sure they're up to no good. Pete was up to no good. But I didn't have time to get to the bottom of his barrel. I had work to do, so I whirled around and marched away. But it continued to bother me. Only later did I discover why he had taken my side of the stray cat debate.